Dirt and Sprague.
Some troubles. Looks like it's going to be Bane, though.
Bane fires a three. Oh! The bank is open late.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
And where is it? The Melk able to keep that one aside, but Melk has lost the stick now. Eichel's had a shot and a score. Shea Theodore scores in overtime for Vegas. And the Golden Knights have evened the series at two games apiece heading home.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. And the Fan Sports Network, hello. Good morning, happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
Nice little Tuesday morning.
We get our kinks figured out from yesterday. No more kinks today?
No, yeah.
We got unkinked or we're permanently kinked? Yeah. It's never going to get fixed.
I want you to bring that up.
Remind you of the struggles of yesterday's show.
Thank you.
Welcome back in. Hello, I got a ball in my court. It's not going anywhere. This is how we're going to operate.
At basketball practice yesterday, and I asked a kid how his day was going. He's like, it's fine. School's boring. How's yours? I was like, my headphones are all knotted up. And he goes, what? And I was like, never mind. Keep dribbling.
Did you make him run laps?
No. Yeah.
Go! Baseline to baseline. Now!
No, but it is funny how...
Pick up the pace.
I think about when I started playing, like, organized basketball to when I stopped playing, like, my last real organized basketball.
Sure.
And just how many times now kids will do certain things and me and other coaches will look at each other and go... Oh, if you were in 1998,
if you were 20 years younger right now, do you have any idea how your coach would have handled this situation? They would not have been as nice as me.
No, they wouldn't. But we got to process our feelings.
That's right. We got to be nice to everybody.
Support everybody.
You don't just make people run. That used to be like I feel like a once a month practice for me when I was young. I'll never forget my first sophomore year JV baseball showing up. I still know the coach to this day. Good buddy of mine. And what kid forgot his glove to play catch?
Oh, hold on.
Yeah. Timeout.
Timeout.
You call it timeout, T.O.?
So when you were a child,
yeah,
your head coach, yeah, who you're now calling a good buddy of
He's
yours?
He's a good buddy of mine. Yeah, we play golf with all the time. Okay. Not really a child. This is sophomore year of high school, so a little bit older.
How old is he when he's your coach?
He was young. He was probably...
Like a 20-something?
30s, mid-30s.
Okay.
So a little bit younger
There's a bit of an age gap there.
Oh, there for
sure still about 15 years difference.
Oh,
there.
Huge age gap. We just stayed in touch after we played. We play golf all the time.
Was he buying you beer?
He was not buying me beer. Unfortunately, not. Would have been nice to have a hookup right out of the gate. There was a kid who forgot his glove. You go out to the foul line, you start playing catch to warm up for practice. He didn't have a glove, and then like looked around like, I don't know.
Wait, he showed up to baseball without a glove?
Exactly. What am I supposed to do? Looking around, and he literally, the coach, he started yelling. Everybody dropped their gloves, and we spent the next 2 hours running.
The whole practice?
The entire team.
Because of one player?
The entire practice. Boy. The entire time. And I remember thinking to myself, I hate this guy. That's why it's ironic that now we're still good buddies.
You know what's interesting is the head coach of the Fire, his name is Alex Sarama. And it just coincidentally how the universe works is, so I've been coaching for a few years now. I got wind of a book he wrote. And it's about the transformation of basketball. And he's bringing a lot of European ideas to America. And so I'm diving heavy into this book before my fall and winter seasons, right? And then they name him as the coach. And I'm like, that's crazy. He now lives here.
I know that guy.
I kind of know that guy. But it's funny to read because basically the book is like how much time people waste at practices. And you just highlighted exactly his point. What a waste of everybody, the coach and the players, time to spend an entire practice
running.
Just running.
Running.
Because
in
one
baseball,
kid
nonetheless.
Made a mistake. Yeah, in baseball, because one kid made a mistake of not bringing his glove. Now, should he make fun of? Yeah, have fun with it.
Sure.
But what a waste of time. And he's so right. Like, think about all the time in any sport, football, basketball, baseball, tennis, whatever.
You spend 40% of the time just farting around. You're not doing anything.
It's just like punishment on the baseline. It's just like, or we could find a different way to use our time because we're only here for an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Maybe this is why kids are soft these days because they don't have to run for 2 hours anymore.
Maybe. There's certainly an element of that.
There's no consequences for screwing up.
Thank you. Yeah. You know what that kid did? He quit. You know what we didn't have anybody do the rest of the year?
Forget their glove.
Well, I mean, Had you had anybody forget their glove prior to that?
No, I don't think. Well, so it was first practice of the year. It was like right out of the gate.
So
it was the first week.
The kid that quit playing baseball.
We're here to play baseball. You don't have a glove.
The running wasn't the difference here with the team.
We learned our lesson the hard way. Back in the old day, uphill both ways to school, walking in the snow. That's the way we were taught.
Yeah, we had practices where somebody would be dumb. Somebody would say dumb things. Like it was Park Rose. And we had one practice where we spent an hour straight just running lines.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking, like, you know, whatever for me, because I was in pretty good shape, but, like, what a waste of time.
We didn't really accomplish much today.
We're terrible. We didn't accomplish anything.
Well, now you're in better shape. We had my junior year, I was on the JV team, and we had a new head coach for the varsity, and the football team had won the state title that year, so they were all late coming back, and we had been running the same system since we were all, like, six.
Right. Everybody knows it.
And he threw him out of practice like three or four times, and JV were like, sweet, we get the whole gym, let's go. It was crazy.
For what?
Oh, it was just a battle of wills.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
It was insane.
It's definitely why
I had a different coach my senior year.
Yeah, he was out after that. You're not coming back after doing that.
No.
Lake Ridge? No.
No.
A state championship football team?
No.
Those kids are not getting out of practice.
You accomplished nothing. You wasted everybody's time, including your own, and then you lost your job.
Right. Exactly.
There has to be a balance of both worlds where you're not obviously the dictator that makes running the only thing that you do, because it doesn't accomplish much outside of getting in better shape. But in some sports, that really doesn't matter, a la baseball. You don't need to be in that good of shape. Running in baseball is one of the dumber things that you do, like long-distance conditioning runnings.
Sure.
Literally makes no sense. It's not a thing that happens in the sport. Short sprinting spaces, you know, 90 feet, I get it. Rounding the bases, totally understand. But long distance running doesn't make sense while also holding people accountable for their actions and their behaviors.
In football, we didn't really like run, you know, you did down and backs in camp, like,
sure,
you know, goal line to goal line. But we had our punishments when we had pads was in fourth grade or fifth grade. It was if you got in trouble, you had to stand 5 yards from the whole team, so they'd be on the goal line, and you're at the five. And you have to make it to the other touchdown, to the other end zone, but your entire team is lined up chasing you,
trying
and they
to
can
tackle
absolutely
you.
Annihilate you.
Yeah, you got to run. You got to outrun all of them.
That was the punishment. And let me tell you, that was an exhilarating experience.
For both people.
You just turn around. And
the
it's
fear.
Just,
the entire team's coming at you.
It looks like Game of Thrones. Charge! You're just like running.
I'm not going to lie. That's not that bad of an idea. For everybody who didn't get in trouble or do something stupid. Let's go tackle that guy because he's being a dumbass. Let's go take him down. That's kind of fun. Just, you know, go loose. And then the other kid, hey, you're going to learn some good football skills in that one. You're trying to outrun an entire team, dodging tacklers, stiff-arming people. That's going to create some good habits.
Yeah, I'm not anti doing something. I just running for a whole practice is crazy.
I remember thinking,
what
myself,
a waste.
This is so stupid.
It's so
like
dumb.
The entire time, just livid in my head of like, why? What am I doing?
This is
we're playing baseball. It's the first day of practice.
What position did that kid play that forgot his glove? Outfield?
I'd probably outfield.
It'd be funny to just make him play outfield
without
no glove.
Yeah. Just to go stand out there.
Not like you're going to get a line drive super hard out there.
I mean, I'm glad the kid quit because he couldn't catch, he couldn't throw, he couldn't do anything. So it accomplished the goal of getting him off the team. Like we didn't need him. He was dead weight for everybody involved. But yeah, it was. Isn't it funny though how the industry.
Human being.
not on JV baseball circa 2005. Hell no, dude. That guy's breaking
down. Were you guys good?
No, we were terrible.
So he made you run for a whole practice, and he wasn't even.
I hated that kid, man. He made me run for a practice, and then he quit. He didn't even want to play anymore.
You guys needed more swings in the cage.
What are you doing out here?
Learn to lay a bunt.
Why are you even trying to play baseball if you don't have a glove? It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You going to go to basketball practice without shoes?
I've seen it, actually.
Like, I'm going to play barefoot today?
I've seen that
happen. We're going shoes and bare feet? All right, let's play this 5-on-5.
Sometimes kids are so talented, they don't need their shoes, and they still dominate.
That would be an intimidating thing.
Yeah, well, it happened. Yeah. I promise you, it's happened.
Like, all right.
Are you beating us in sandals? Flip-flops.
I got my slides on right now.
I was wearing jeans.
Jeans and slides.
That was lunch.
Torching you for 18 in the paint.
Yeah, no doubt.
What the hell happened there, man?
Punishments as an adult, that would be a really funny thing, too, in the workplace.
Yeah, things that you made somebody do around the office.
Like
run a lap around the building.
When Swag pisses off Cooley because he's breathing down Cooley's neck about something that Cooley clearly doesn't care about.
Up-downs, come on. 5 minutes of up-downs, let's go, now.
5 minute up-downs.
He gets the whistle out of his desk. Beep! Down!
How many people in our building, if Cooley was like, hey, see that hallway? Down and back. down,
down,
back.
Now.
Go.
Go.
How many would, like, awkwardly start running, like, okay.
All right.
Like, how many people would actually start responding to the punishments?
Your inner 12-year-old comes out, and you're like, all right, coach, I don't want to get benched. I want some playing time.
Like,
this
Cooley
weekend.
Walks past our studio. We have Joe Fish will come in once in a while. He sees Joe Fisher in here talking to us during a commercial break.
Not making those calls, sending
those
emails.
Not making those sales calls and emails.
What are we doing?
And Cooley's like, give me 10 up and downs.
Now.
What is Joe Fisher doing? He's probably doing them.
How many people could do 10 up downs, like legitimate up downs? I don't even know if I could. My shoulders might pop out.
Not me.
No.
You don't think you could do
like
10
up downs? A legitimate
up down? Straight up.
Like not like slowly ease your knees and then your hands onto the
and
floor.
And not a hunched back.
No.
Like it's got to be straight up.
Straight up.
It's got to be full
and
down.
And a dive down to the ground, yeah. Push yourself back up. No, dude, my shoulders.
You couldn't do 10?
I mean, I probably could, but
it would hurt.
I'd find a way, like but hell. They would not look to form.
No.
They would not look to form.
I mean, I was on the ground and then off the ground and then back on the ground, but it's not how it was supposed to look.
We always end practice with a 5-minute dribbling thing. We got one of our main coaches in the middle, and he's doing all these dribbling moves, and the kids are supposed to match him, right? At the very end yesterday, we do these planks, and the kids get to hold the basketball on the ground, and then they plank from their hands on top of the ball, right?
Sure.
So we did 90 seconds of this, and man, there was one kid, he fell like 8 times, and I ran over there, and there's probably 20 seconds left. And I'm like, let's get your legs up. Let's get your legs up. He's like, I can't.
Just shaking.
And I was like, good try. And I walked away and started clapping.
There we go.
The body shaking, and it was the, I the ball
just
is like,
gyrating on the floor.
Dude, the ball's violently shaking, and I'm like, I don't legitimately think he could do this.
Are you having a seizure right
Are
now?
Are you all right?
I don't know if you're okay.
But yeah, so sometimes you see people doing punishments, and you're like, good try.
You gave it an effort, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, you went 70 seconds of the 90 seconds.
I think every kid eventually learned too to like the pretend fake hard run instead of the actual hard run.
Oh yeah,
the arms a little bit, a little bit more kick in the arms.
Yeah.
A little more heavy breathing, like, right. I'm working out here, I'm working, but right. You're just pretending the entire time.
10 up-downs. How many people can we think of that would be able to do 10 up-downs?
I think the brand man could do 10 up-downs if you needed to.
Okay.
I would vote you. You could probably do 10 up-downs.
Okay. I think once Kingsella learned what an up-down
Kingsella
was, he could
do
one. Them.
Kingsella's in good
Kingsella
shape.
Kingsella's in good cardio shape.
Cardio shape,
Kingsella
sure.
Doesn't lift.
That's true.
I keep warning him.
He's
you're
not
getting
a big,
old, dude.
He's not that, but he's not a big guy.
No.
That's true. No.
He's weary. He's a runner, and if you don't lift, you're going to be an old guy.
You got to bulk a little bit. We need a little more protein there,
you got to lift
there,
a little
Dave.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Could Tubbs do 10 up-downs?
A little worried about Tubbs.
I don't know if Tubbs could.
I don't think Tubbs could.
I don't think Tubbs could.
Chicken skewer in front of him, maybe?
Maybe. If you put a chicken skewer on the ground.
Some motivation might help him.
Diving down and biting that thing each time he goes down.
Joe Fisher.
Probably not. I'm going to vote no there.
Joe will give you a good burst for 5, but the last
yes.
5 are going to be work.
He's breathing pretty hard.
First 3, perfect form.
Right.
4, 5, you're losing a little bit. 6, are you alive right now?
Danny.
No. No.
No.
No chance. Too many surgeries.
Break.
Something would go wrong. Dude, he tore his hamstring watching a football game. Like, no.
Wait, watching a football game?
Yeah, you remember that? The Oregon-USC game. He tore his
the
hamstring
I
walking
see do
to
it.
His seat.
I want to see Johnny Ludes do it.
Johnny Ludes, no. I love you, Johnny Ludes. I don't think you can
vote
do 10.
No on that one.
I think we're slim pickings around the office, man. Johnny Martin, probably.
Johnny Martin, okay.
Johnny Martin's he's tiny. Yeah. Not a lot of weight to push up. I could see that happening.
Our sales gals, Paulina, Veronica, Marisa.
Yeah. They all do hood to coast,
yeah.
Right? Or
no.
Some of them do, don't
Only
they?
Only one of them.
Only one of them yeah. Does. Well, the hood to coast one could do it. The other one's probably not.
Okay.
I'll vote that. I think it's less than 5. I'd set the over-under at 5.
Terry
and a half.
Boyd.
No chance,
no.
Terry Boyd.
Terry's
I love
not
you, buddy.
Doing it.
He said no chance.
If you're listening to the bathroom right now, hell of a golfer, no chance.
No chance, 10 up-downs.
No chance, 10 up-downs.
All right,
with proper form necessary.
Well, ask
Dusty's
the
embarrassing the rest of us.
Yeah, he'd lap us
Dusty
all.
Is?
Yeah.
10 up-downs. I'm going to ask people during commercial breaks when they start trickling in, hey, could you do 10 up-downs right
see
now?
See it walk in the building. Let's go now. Up-down, up-down, now. You're late.
Well, we got a loaded show today. Randomly, we have Greg Oden.
Greg Oden on the show. That Greg Oden.
At 8 a.m.
Scheduled for 8 a.m.
We'll see if he calls.
Calling
yeah.
Us.
He's calling. Will he remember to call us?
Well, his agent didn't send us any notes. You're
no.
Always supposed to have notes for these interviews.
We're winging it.
We're winging it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You guys are pros.
Just talk to Greg.
Well,
Oden,
I know, man. But usually these people have something they want to pub, which is why he's on.
18-year-old me would be really excited about that interview.
Yeah. Man, what a
I'll never forget that day. The day we got the number one pick and won the lottery.
I'll never forget either.
Never forget that day.
Yeah.
For the rest of my life.
Is there any ounce of him and willing to admit on the radio that he was like, Portland?
I think we should ask him about that.
I was hoping Seattle.
I know he wasn't a huge fan at the end of his time in Portland, and I think time has healed some of those wounds, as it usually does.
Sure.
But at the moment, when it came to an end, it was not a happy relationship.
Well, we'll talk with Greg Oden coming up at 8. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday, so get those Mail Sack questions in at 503-864-6326. We'll get to that in the final hour of the radio program.
Mail Sack!
And a lot to discuss. Let's start in college football, a whoopsie-daisy by this starting quarterback and what it all means. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, good to be with you. We get it going next on 105.1 The Fan. How do you think Brendan Sorsby did gambling on his Indiana football team when they went 4-8 in 2022?
Somebody said that's a great telltale sign of somebody with a problem if you were gambling on Indiana football in 2022. Not last year's Indiana. Although the other thought I had, maybe vacate all their wins from last year. You know, 3 years of guilt.
Really?
Running into last year, vacate it. Get them out of here.
But it does nothing for your program.
Give us another Wolf Championship. It's back-to-back, bitch. Two banners for you.
I think you could still be the Wolf Champion by still getting bludgeoned in the playoff.
Not last year. They were undefeated. They never lost. We didn't beat them the first time around. We didn't get a Wolf title last year. I'll take my Wolf title, please. Thank you.
Yeah, how about 10:15 a.m.? We're sitting out there post-show, and lowercase comes out and just goes, what's going on with Brendan Sorsby?
What do you mean, lowercase?
We're like, what?
Okay, what's happening here?
And lo and behold, we found out that new Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby checked himself into a rehab treatment for a gambling addiction. Evidently, he was gambling as a redshirt freshman at Indiana on his team.
On his team. He pulled a Pete Rose. To our knowledge, never gambled against his team or through any sort of game. I think he played the year he was at Indiana. He played redshirted. He played one game and garbage time mop-up duty. That was the only one he got in.
It's a take that probably doesn't sit well with people because we're talking about addiction and I don't want to joke about addiction.
Downplay the idea of it. Certainly a problem for a lot of people.
The element of addiction is real. Now, addiction aside, okay?
Set it to the side.
I'm not kidding when I say I'd be totally all right if athletes bet on their teams, and I feel like it'd be okay if we knew that going into games.
This guy's got 500 grand like, on them winning this game.
If you told me Jaden McDaniels has 350 G's on the T-Wolves to eliminate the Nuggets in game six.
Just in game like six was his exact bet.
He's money line betting the Wolves.
Money line betting that game.
Or you found out that like Joe Burrow is going into Buffalo against Josh Allen. He's laid 100 G's on Bengals plus the 4.5.
Love our chances this week.
If you told me you could do that.
It sounds like you might have a problem.
I don't think I got an issue with it.
Sounds like you might have a bit of an issue over there.
I just think it makes for great content. Now, selfishly, let's put that back to the side. Problem. Yeah, I do.
I also love that it was reported he was sitting at Reds games. He would go in, like, when he was in Cincinnati, go to Reds games and bet, like, $2 on literally every pitch of the game.
Yeah.
Like, ball, $2. Strike, $2. Like, every pitch of the game.
That's
you know how many pitches are thrown?
Yeah.
How many times you got to press bet?
One guy might throw 100 pitches.
Yes, that's a lot of bets, dude. That's adding up really quick.
Yeah, so now we don't know because the NCAA obviously prohibits gambling, and we have no idea what this means. I don't mean to make light of the gambling part here and the addiction, but also he's getting treatment. He's addressed it. That's great. There's really nothing much else to add there. It is kind of the fallout of what happens with Texas Tech.
That's the million-dollar question in all of this.
I saw everybody photoshopping your boy in a Texas Tech 15 uniform.
You know what the punishment is if they do that?
What?
So there's a new rule in place now when you try and get a guy to transfer outside of the portal window.
Well, Texas Tech wasn't doing it. Just random accounts were doing it.
No. I'm not saying Texas Tech. I'm just saying when you're, like, this is a legit new rule the D1 cabinet approved in one of the strictest rules that we've seen. Now, is it actually enforceable? Will it actually transpire? I don't know, because we have that with the clearinghouse saying where Nebraska is filing a lawsuit for some of their players getting their money turned down, and they're filing a lawsuit against the clearinghouse, and I think that's going in front of a judge starting today, and that's probably going to get struck down. basically what they're calling it, like a ghost transfer portal window, that if you acquire, so if they were to find out Sorsby is ineligible, right, and they say Dylan Raiola is going to be a prime candidate for this, no doubt about it, and they call him up and they want to get him to bolt Oregon and then come to Texas Tech for next season, since there's only one window now, the two punishments that come with it, according to the NCAA, is a half-season suspension for the head coach. So he's suspended for 6 games. Joey McGuire would not be able to coach in 6 games for them, and the university would be fined 20% of the football budget at the school.
Really?
Those are the two punishments that come with it now. Now, is it enforceable? Will somebody file a lawsuit if they actually do it? I don't know, but those are the rules that are in the book, and they were approved by the D1 cabinet, I think, last year or earlier this year. Can't remember exactly when it happened, but they're trying to cramp down on, you have this window, it's in January, that's when you can transfer, it's a free-for-all, go wherever you want, but if you do it outside of that window, there will be consequences of it. And a lot of people have looked at Texas Tech's schedule and looked at the amount of money that they make, and have made the argument it's a no-brainer that they need to do this. Because you don't know if Brendan Sorsby is going to be available. Their backup quarterback, who was Will Hammond last year, remember, he came in and played a little bit.
He tore his ACL.
Yeah. He might not be ready until October.
You might have to go to a Tulsa transfer.
You might. Now, go look at Texas Tech's schedule and ask me if they need Joey McGuire for the first 6 games of their
Probably
season.
Probably not.
They play literally nobody.
So, Sorsby, according to the guidelines of the NCAA, there's a really good chance he's done.
Yes.
The NCAA might say you're banished from playing college football.
Like, I know the it's a funny joke, and I agree with you, that would be have a lot on the line for guys gambling on their team to play. This is one of the strictest in sports.
No
you
doubt.
Cannot do it.
And there should be.
I don't care who you're gambling
guidelines.
On. I don't care how it works.
Yes.
If you're putting money on your team to win a game, that's just an immediate no-no. And the NCAA has been investigating this evidently for a while, and I saw a report yesterday that Texas Tech was aware of this, even in the recruitment and transfer process, that this was kind of hanging over his head.
The crazy part of this, too, is not only is he now potentially banished from college football, Texas Tech loses their starting quarterback,
yes.
which he was one of the most sought-out quarterbacks in the portal. He chose Texas Tech over Miami and blanking on the other one.
A few others, yeah.
He is also facing a lawsuit from the University of Cincinnati.
Yes, he is.
For a breach contract, and that's in the $1 million ballpark range.
Yep.
So this cat's dealing with a $1 million lawsuit. He is probably going to lose his college career forever. And the next time you see him will be at like an NFL draft combine.
Yes. I've seen some people make the argument if that happens for him, he's going to apply for the supplemental draft in the NFL.
I wouldn't blame him at all.
Not going to sit around for a year. He tested the waters a little bit and decided to come back. But now if you can't play college football next year, you're not going to wait around for a year.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he gets – I do truly hope he can learn from this and get past it. He made thousands of bets.
Yes, thousands.
It's
a lot of bets, man. We're talking a lot of bets.
He made him as a redshirt freshman, too.
Yes, he did.
Which, you know, it starts to beg the question of...
He was underage at the time.
Well, underage and, you know, college football and college athletics, they've had some couple, like, side bets that we've noted. Like, remember the, the Alabama coach was calling in bets via a third party?
Yes.
You've had some, like, no-name guys from Iowa State. This is easily the biggest one, as Dan Wetzel of ESPN reports.
Right.
And yesterday, coincidentally, we just happened to also have Pat Riley come out and talk about, hey, this is the dangers of getting into bed with gambling companies. We want their money.
Yes, we do. Avenue dollars are great. Revenue dollars.
We can't be shocked by the results of things. And so not everything in the NBA is tied necessarily to, the DraftKings and the BetMGMs and all that stuff. But it's no coincidence that it's popped up so much, and now you've got this story out there. I'm still one that thinks, you know, sports gambling should be legal.
Yes.
I think having strict restrictions that are, you know, if you're going to punish somebody and you say, hey, you're done playing the sport forever, then I think you're protecting yourself in a good way. And they caught this. It wasn't like it was in season and Texas Tech is 4-0 and they found out, hey, last weekend he moneyline bet the Red Raiders.
Yeah, it's April, man. You got a ways to figure this out.
But, yeah, it's just a very odd thing where I'm like pro allowing us to do it. But also acknowledging there's been a real string and run on ties from athletes, coaches, obviously, we know that.
Right.
and now a quarterback in a major quarterback in college football.
Well, I think that the gambling stuff aside, because they're always going to take the revenue that comes with the advertisement. They're never going to say no to that.
It's hard to see them kicking them out of bed.
Now that they have the money in their coffers, you're not going to say, let's take this money out of our coffers. It just will not happen.
Right.
So I think it almost becomes more of a football conversation for me, because Texas Tech is literally a lock to make the college football playoff next year. With the roster that they have.
BYU takes a step with Bachmeyer in year two.
They might, and this is where it gets interesting, because I would argue Sorsby's already better than what Bachmeyer was.
No doubt.
Now, if he's not available, that hangs in the air a little bit. You know who they don't play in the regular season?
BYU.
They don't play BYU.
Yeah.
So their first six games next year, Abilene Christian, they come up to Corvallis, they play Oregon State in week two.
That's right.
Houston at home, Sam Houston at home.
You might get a dub.
Colorado on the road and Arizona State at home. Those are your first six games. And if I'm Cody Campbell, who's their billionaire booster oil guy, who's funding all of this stuff, I would like, what's the fine I have to pay? And we don't need Joey McGuire for six games. We'll be fine. Michigan won a national title without Jim Harbaugh for half of their season.
Yeah, they did. They won it with his dad.
If they can do with Jack Harbaugh,
Jack has a win from that.
And
season.
The creeper Sherrone Moore coaching them to a national championship, they'll be fine in that schedule without Joey McGuire coaching them. And I wouldn't be shocked in the least if they bit the bullet and said, "What's it cost to go? If it's Raiola or whoever else, we'll give you $6 million. Come on down and play quarterback for us."
It's weird that I have this conversation, this topic, and I'm like, what's the spread for Oregon State, Texas Tech right now?
I don't know if there's an early line. I would guess it's rather large. That would be my
thought. Give me the B plus the points at home.
You taking the points?
Jesus.
Taking the points as a dog?
It's so dirty. But I'm not the one breaking the rules here.
No, man. People have addictions to everything. Are we going to ban alcohol because alcoholism exists?
Don't get me started on that.
Right? Like, it just...
Porn, alcohol, cigarettes.
Addictions happen. You know, they are a thing. It's,
no doubt.
You want people to get treatment when they can. The rest of us do it responsibly. This is going to impact, though, one of the biggest teams in college football next year, potentially, if he's not able to go.
We'll get to the Blazers coming up at the top of the hour. It's a pivotal game five. Are we going to have a gentleman sweep, or are we going to surprise the world and send it back to Portland? We'll start talking about that coming up. At the top of the hour. Coming up next, I'll stick kind of in the world of college football, but from a draft angle. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about on the other side, but first, Swag with the Sports Update. All right, welcome back in. 6:36 on Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan. I pulled the audio from yesterday that you had mentioned from the late rounds of the NFL draft. We had an argument.
The round seven brouhaha. Between Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis.
Now, I had to edit it down because it's about 4 minutes.
They wouldn't stop. They kept going.
Yeah, they got interrupted eventually to the point where it was like, all right, now you guys really need to stop. And so this is like round seven. It's literally the end of the draft. Charles Davis is on the dais with Daniel Jeremiah and Rich Eisen.
Talk about problems. If you're watching this at this point, seek help. If you're sitting around on a...
If it's on your television in 70, the background,
70-degree Sunday, what time was the seventh round wrapping up? I don't even know. I'm assuming in the middle of the
like
day.
Oh, it was like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It was Saturday, not Sunday?
Saturday.
Okay, Saturday.
It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yes. Saturday
we were well into NHL and NBA playoff action on your TV.
Not to mention, the weather was perfect.
It was great.
If you were watching this...
Well, if you're at home doing chores, you're in your garage whittling away. Like, if it's on the background, I don't judge you.
Turn real sports on. I think I'm still judging. Still judgy.
Either way, it's the seventh round, and somehow Mendoza comes up for the Raiders, and Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis, it's about a two-minute clip, they get into it a little bit.
Tom Brady's been on national airways forever talking about how this league fails quarterbacks and how they don't do it properly. And he went through this himself.
And let's wait and see what Tom does.
He went through this himself. he's got his guy in place, and Kirk Cousins.
Drew Bledsoe was sitting there.
I know, and Kirk Cousins is an accomplished player in this league.
Tom was a sixth
round
pick.
He's an accomplished player in this
Tom
league.
Tom was a sixth
Kirk
round
Cousins
pick.
Is not some
he was
scrub.
Not a first round
he's
pick.
He's not going to rush him on the field. I'm just telling you. he's not going to do it.
He will tell us that now.
They're not in any hurry. They just hired the head coach. He just got there. There's no rush. They're in no hurry.
Right, so let me ask you this.
He's not going to start right away. I promise you.
Okay, so now let me ask you this.
I can't wait to see this.
Maybe it's not right away. What's more likely? What's more likely to be higher? Number of Fernando Mendoza's starts this year? Raiders draft position in next year's NFL draft. What number is higher?
Ooh.
I'm going to say that he's going to start 7 games
okay.
this year.
And so...
Kirk Cousins will get him past the halfway mark.
Okay. So 7 games.
Start 7 games, and I'm going to say that the Raiders are picking 9 next year.
So okay. What about you?
Oh, draft position.
So you think that he's going to be?
Starts.
So starts.
The number of starts for him.
Starts. So he said seven starts. How many starts do you think he gets?
12, minimum.
I mean, geez, Chuck, the way you were talking, you would have thought he was going to start the first day of minicamp.
The way you were
talking. Now you've already given him five weeks for Kirk Cousins after you just said no shit.
The way you were talking, he was going to sit the entire year, and you got him given seven starts.
What an oversell.
Oh, please, you oversold that like crazy. He's not going to rush him in. He's going to watch him play.
And you're giving him seven starts.
Even at Christmas, you threw him starts.
If he's not going to rush him in, and they've got a confident guy, then he sits all year long.
They're showing water shots of the calm conflict.
I mean, if you're saying that they got Kirk Cousins and they're not going to play him, how do you get seven starts?
Children on the dais.
By the way, Charles Davis, 100% right.
Oh.
You want to yell about it? You want to go?
Interesting. So I listened to this. I actually listened to it twice. I ended up having to be the one to edit it. But you know what's interesting? I came to the same conclusion. He acts as if he's not going to play at all.
Right. And then you say he plays 7 games.
And then he's
going to
play 7 games?
It's almost half the season.
Almost, yeah.
Almost
it's right
half the season.
It's right near the line.
Drake May, because I'm trying to think of...
See, that's the recipe, I think. I think they go Drake May.
And I loved the narrative at the time was you can't put Drake May out there. He's not going to survive.
Right.
His offensive line's too bad.
Yeah.
Guess what he did? He built a lot of confidence, showed some flashes, and then really popped in year two.
Right.
Isn't that funny how you get better playing football? Drake May ended up starting in week 6 for New England. That was the week that he went in. Now, he missed a game or he left a game after that and then came back the next week. But essentially, outside of one other week, I think they sat him maybe on the last week of the season because they were 3-13. I don't know if he was banged up or not. Joe Milton was our leading passer in that game. He ended up starting 10 games that year.
Drake May did
for New England. He was the number 3 overall pick, not the number 1 overall pick.
So if I was to lay a bet, I actually think Davis is closer to right than Jeremiah. And I think Jeremiah is very plugged in.
No doubt about it. I just love this. Like, there's no rush. This is the NFL, dude. When was the last time we had a number one quarterback go and not play for the first half of the season?
Oh,
the other
great
piece
question.
Of, the other piece at, of that is that. If Kirk Cousins is the starter game one, how long do we think he can last?
Well, yeah. I mean, how long?
I watched him play last year. I didn't think he was good.
It's not good. No. He's 40 years old. He's off a torn Achilles. He's not like you want to say he's a culture locker room guy. Like, whatever. He could be a good mentor for him. But, like, how many games? This is what New England did.
I'm going through it. So you got Winston started right away.
Right away.
Goff started. Did Goff start right away?
I believe he did. But I can go back and look at the game logs from that year. I don't remember who their other
quarterbacks
were.
Quarterback in 2015 for the Rams.
Littering and Baker.
Baker didn't start right away.
Came,
but that was like week 2.
It was pretty early
week
on. I remember
three.
Him coming in on a Thursday night
game.
And led them to a comeback win, and he was the hero they were going to build.
Did Kyler start right away, or did he do the veteran thing for a couple games too?
That's one I can't remember off the top of my head. I don't remember it being half of the year. I feel like that's a big storyline. If you think back to, like, let me see his stats from how many games he played.
Lawrence started
year.
Right away.
Yep.
I feel like Bryce Young did start right away, even though he got benched and then came back.
That I feel like you were correct. Let's see. I'm looking at
so
Jacoby
Baker took a couple weeks. We'll look up Kyler.
Kyler Murray, his rookie year, played in, wait for it, every game.
Okay.
20 touchdowns, 12 picks. He played in 16 games, 2019.
Goff would be the other one I question.
I'll pull up Goff. Let's see what he did.
We know Luck started every game. Cam Newton set the record for, like, most yards by a rookie quarterback in his first game.
Yeah, he was awesome his rookie year.
Yeah, dude, to your point.
Like, this doesn't happen. That's like, I understand.
If it happens, it doesn't happen for very long. Like,
no.
Baker, they were like, he's not going to start. He's not going to play.
Goff might be your example. Would have been 7 games. Now, I don't remember. He was so bad that I don't remember if he started and they sat him or if they waited.
Who was the other quarterback on that roster?
Let me bring up the 2016 LA Rams.
Because I think it would have been him playing at the end. Because that was still Fisher, right? Jeff
Fisher?
That
was still Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
2016 regular season.
I think that next year was the
7-9.
Case Keenum
was the other quarterback. 9 touchdowns, 11 picks. Their quarterback room that year combined 14 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. That is so bad.
That was the next season was when we got the 7-9 bowl, right?
That, yes.
It was Hard Knocks.
And then he got fired, and they brought in Goff, and Goff saved him. I'll see this. Let me pull up his game log real quick since we're on it from 2016.
Isn't that when we found out Goff thought the...
It would have been Goff. Goff did not come in until, looks like, the middle of November.
Okay, there
he
you
go. He started the last seven games of the season, and he was really bad, and then finished the regular season. They lost every game.
You hired Kubiak. Kubiak clearly was going to write yay or nay on the quarterback selection. If he didn't, what are you doing?
Right.
Brady, although went through an experience, he's still like an owner who's not really all there. He's doing broadcasting. He's got all these other endeavors. I lean Charles Davis here. I think it's going to be closer to 12 than it is 7, and I also agree the way he talked about him not playing, and then you say he's going to start seven games.
That's, yeah, it's a good chunk of your season. You're insinuating that he's not going to be in until the end of the year.
Like the last 3 weeks
is what
I think.
And that's just ridiculous for a number one overall pick.
If you tend to agree.
Some other guys later in the first round or they get drafted later, maybe you can make that argument. Not the number one overall pick, dude. You're also in business. You're trying to sell tickets. You're trying to incentivize people to come. The Raiders are irrelevant. They've been terrible my entire life, essentially. This is how you – number one overall pick, starting quarterback. Maybe first couple of games he won't be in. I'd give it 3 weeks. And that he's our starter.
Speaking of number one overall quarterbacks and picks, is the next one in Eugene. Talk a little bit about that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. We'll dive into the Blazers coming up at 7 a.m. It's a pivotal game 5. Also, do we want to walk anything back in this regard? We'll talk about that. It's also...
Mail Sack.
A Sparta TRT edition of the Mail Sack coming up in the final hour. Mail Sack questions are welcome at the fan text line, 503-864-6326. Seeing a lot of photoshopped images of your backup quarterback with a huge boiler. And it's like there are a lot of Duck fans are the ones doing it, and I'm just like, whoa, what are we doing here?
I mean, I wouldn't blame them at all. If they come with a payday, like, by all means, dude, go be a starter at Texas Tech. I got no issues. We did this to him, though. Remember when Miami kind of struck out on everybody in the portal, and everybody thought, ooh, they're going to come call him probably
Mensa,
for Raiola,
right?
And they went Mensa instead, and they had to pay the fine or the fee or whatever, you know, I don't know how the terminology works in those contracts because none of it is public knowledge, but they did it and they got Mensa, and so it is possible the Texas Tech calls. That's a hard one to say no to, man. They're going to offer him a lot of money if they do.
Well, to a lot of social media Duck fans' points, might be being recruited as a defensive lineman with the way his... I finally saw it, by the way, what everybody's been talking about, and I was like, yeah, I'd just more say the jersey's a little tight.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's always been a bigger guy.
I'm not surprised by it, but he's wearing the Kenyon Sadiq edition when you're built more like Andy Johnson edition.
Yes, he's got a little, he's the round mound of rebound, if you will, of quarterbacks. He's got a little
large. Is
there
maybe Joey in that pocket? Or is that just what's been happening? You know, I don't know. It's very odd to see the Photoshops.
It is very weird.
The guts are huge.
Making them look fat.
But the starting quarterback of your Oregon Ducks, Daniel Jeremiah, was asked, who would you take with the number one pick? And this was his answer.
You know what? I lean conservative, so I'm going to lean conservative, and I'll go with the Oregon quarterback over Arch. I'll go Dante Moore, just because I've seen him play at a higher level for a longer period of time. Arch has all the ability in the world, and I'm looking forward to really studying him. I've done more work because I thought Dante was coming out. I haven't done that full workup on Arch, so I'm covering myself there.
It's very interesting to think about, you know, in a few months we're going to start diving in. We'll have fall camp, and then we got the season, and it's here, and it's a lot of expectation. But as we noted with last year's draft, or draft class potentially for this year's draft.
What we were
what
saying
like,
a year ago,
Yeah,
about
just
this year's
like kind of weeding out. Like, everybody's just going to be all in on all of them, right? Arch is going to be the number one pick. No, it's going to be Dante. Dante's going to win the Heisman, be the number one pick.
Don't forget about guys like Sellers at South Carolina who's
back
for another year.
USC's quarterback with Lincoln Riley. He has a pretty good track record of having a guy, you know, get one of those trophies. So it's just interesting to think about the class. And will next year's draft deliver us quarterback conversation, or will it end up becoming a bit of a dud and – we're then debating, should they take the defensive edge rusher or the hybrid linebacker, or should they go offensive line? Like, where we're going to be a year from now, and Dante Moore kind of at the forefront of that, where he's number one on a lot of mocks and number two on other ones.
Talk about putting on weight. I thought that was a takeaway of the spring game for me. He looked like he gained some weight in a good way, I would argue. Not that he was too lean or too skinny, but he looked better put together, if you will. And I think an offseason in the gym has helped him tremendously. I'm also somebody who, as the year went on last year, like I, it's a difficult conversation because everybody has a hot take on the player. I'm also in on Arch Manning. Like, I think he evolved as a guy from the beginning of the year, having to go on the road to Ohio State with more expectations on him than, you know, since what high school quarterback, if we put that level of pressure on go perform, you're the heir apparent to a quarterback dynasty family. And that's not easy to live up to. And when you look at him from game one to where he was in game 12 of the season last year, I thought he grew a ton and evolved. I think they're better around him this year. They added weapons. They added running backs. His offensive line is going to be good. And you know Texas is not lacking for funding elsewhere on the roster. So I'm in on both guys. I think Dante, the only box he has to check in order to be the number one overall pick is playing better in bigger moments. He did early against Penn State, and we thought, hey, look at that. He can live up to the pressure and come up with big throws in overtime. And then Penn State's season crumbled, and he kind of lost the credit for that game. Was terrible in the first Indiana game, was terrible in the second Indiana game. And so he's just got to show, whether it's on the road at Ohio State, I don't know how many other games will actually fall into this category. Maybe it's USC early in the year, that he, when the lights are the brightest and you're playing a legitimate national title contender, that you can come up with big throws and lead your team to a win. Outside of that, he's got the arm strength. He's a smart kid. He's clean off the field. Like, he checks every other box, size, strength, all of that. He just needs to play better in bigger games.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But part of that to me is about who you're playing, right? It's one thing to play a beat up, terrible Oklahoma State team. It's another to play Ohio State, Indiana, fill in the blank, other big teams in college football. And like, it, to me, it's going to be about how he recognizes and deals with different coverage schemes, because we saw that a couple times, right? Like Indiana, especially in Eugene.
I mean, the two Indiana games were a disaster
seemingly
for him.
Well, yeah, the second game was the worst, but the first one, almost as close as it may have been in score, I thought there were a lot of things that looked like they were doing schematically that were kind of confusing him and
he
making
was
him second. Yeah, and so it's more to me about that is a big game by definition because it's a ranked team against a ranked team. But to me, it's more about the coverages and how you operate with different coverages and what they show you versus what they actually play. And
right,
I think it's those elements to me. Big games are absolutely a big part of that because you're going to get the better teams who know what they're doing in those instances. But how do you operate with different coverages and different pressures? And I think those are areas that were shaky to not very good for him last year.
Without a doubt. The tough part with evaluating these guys is how many teams and defenses will he play next year?
That's what I
would even
about.
Have the ability to do that.
Well, if you're an NFL coach, that's what you're like, crap.
Ohio State
games.
For sure.
Yep.
Maybe a Big Ten championship game. Maybe a play.
Yep.
There's not a lot of them that you can pick from where there's elite players on the other side in a good scheme. Indiana certainly had both of those, and it was really tough for him last year. He's got everything working for him around him, though. The wide receiver room is probably the best in school history. Two young backs are back. Offensive line will be a question, and then probably answer that early in the year. But that'll be something we'll lean on through, you know, kind of linger on through the offseason. But he's got every other thing checked. It's just tough because you really only have one or two games you can evaluate how it actually translates to the NFL.
We have a loaded second hour. The Blazers have a pivotal game five, and hey, turns out you can learn from mistakes. I'll tell you what we're talking about. Kickoff hour two, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.